Daniel chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these, 3 presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel preferred, Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king sought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault. For so much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, "We shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God." Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king, and said thus unto him, "King Darius, live forever. All the princes of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains, have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into a den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing, that it may not change, according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which altereth not." Wherefore, King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house with his he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as he did aforetime. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. "Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions?" The king answered and said, "The thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not." Then answered they and said before the king, "That Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition 3 times a day." Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself, and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, "Know, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king establisheth may be changed." Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake unto Daniel and said unto Daniel, "Thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee." And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice and said, "Daniel." And the king spake and said to Daniel, "O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions?" Then said Daniel to the king, "O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel and has shut the lion's mouth. They have not hurt me, for as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt." Then was the king exceeding glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. And the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives, and the lions had the mastery of them, and break all their bones in pieces, or ever they came to the bottom of the den. Let's pray. Father, help us now to preach. Give us something worthwhile to say, something worth hearing. May it lodge in our heart and help us in our lives. We'll thank you and praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we've been bringing you a series of messages on different men in the Bible. And tonight I want to talk to you about Darius, because Darius is a fool. And he does some foolish things. And boy, I'll tell you what, it's easy to play the part of a fool. Darius listens to the wrong people. He reacts out of pride and ignorance. He reacted in haste and without thinking. He did some things. Had he ever given any thought, he'd never done it. But he did it, and then he wouldn't back down. And so his pride before his fellow countrymen caused him to send an innocent man, which had only been a good servant, to a certain death. Now, thanks be unto God that God intervened even when Darius wouldn't, and overrode the lions, and Daniel is okay. But the king had opened his mouth very foolishly, very rashly, and then when he saw that he had been set up, and it was obvious to anybody that he had been set up, he still wouldn't back down and say, you guys tricked me. You played on a little loophole in the law. And then when Daniel's finally delivered, what does Darius do? Well, he overreacts again. Anybody ever been there? Things come up, little situations, not exactly life and death. But before you think it out, you just pop off. You commit yourself to things. You promise you'll do things. You say you'll do this, that, or the other. Or you say, I'll never do so and so. I don't care what happens. Bless God, I ain't going to do. And boy, pretty soon you've got to eat your words. Made a rash decision. You ever buy anything, go into debt, and then when you get to thinking about it, you wish to goodness you hadn't done it, but now you're obligated? It was an impulse thing. It was foolish. But you wanted it, or whatever it was, and you did it. Now, so let's not be too hard on Darius, but let's learn some things from this guy if we can. I have about 11 things here about this fella that we want to point out in this passage, and see if we can't learn from his mistakes and not repeat them. Amen. It's one thing to make a mistake. We all make them, but we don't have to make them willingly. We don't have to make them if God gives us opportunity to learn from another source. It's a whole lot better to avoid a situation by seeing somebody else's foolishness, learning from somebody else's mistake, than it is to have to do it yourself. Now, all my life, down here in the South, I've heard Southerners say some of the dumbest things. Come think of it, Southerners do a lot of dumb things. Now, if I was up North, I'd probably say that about Yankees, but I'm not up North, I'm down South. I've been watching Southerners most of my life, and they say some dumb things. And what's really dumb about it is they say it with such pride. You know, well, I'll tell you one thing, preacher. Everything I ever learned, I had to learn it the hard way. I guess I'll have to learn this the same way. Now, you know you're talking to a certifiable moron. Amen? Just because you learned everything else the hard way, when are you going to smarten up a little bit and learn something the easy way? Down South, we can watch 500 people make identical mistakes and get right in line with them. I say, why are you going to do that? Didn't you see what happened to him? Well, it's going to be different with me. Well, it wasn't different with the last 500. Well, they were different. And then you go and do it, and guess what? It's a disaster for you too. I don't know where brains are at down South. You know, they say what a true Southerner is, don't you? It's a man or a woman whose mind has never been violated by an intellectual thought. There's a lot of truth in that. Now, let me give you 10 or 11 things here about Darius. And hopefully, we can set aside our Southern heritage and learn from his mistakes. Now, in chapter 6 there in verse 1 through 3, you notice that Darius, even though he was impulsive and spontaneous and given to overreaction, he had some sense about rulership. He had some sense about leadership. The country was too big. It had too many different groups in it for him to control everything all by himself. And so what he did is he set up a form of government that had 120 princes over the different provinces of Babylon. And then over those 120, he set three. And then over them was he himself. And so you had a pyramid in leadership. And so the 120 rule the masses. Then they answered to the three. And then the three answered to the king. Now it's a whole lot easier to rule that way. Amen. When Jimmy Carter was in office, he about drove himself crazy. The guy aged about 100 years in 4 years. And Jimmy Carter's problem was that he was up till 3 and 4 o'clock in the morning, and then lay down for an hour or so and be back up at 5:30 or 6 and hit the grind again. The man literally worked himself almost into sickness while he was in office because he was a micromanager. He didn't trust anybody else. He did not know how to delegate authority. He thought that he had to be hands-on and that he was responsible to make every decision. That was a very foolish thing. It just about killed him. Good leaders know how to delegate authority and to give other people the responsibility and the authority that goes with their position. They laughed at Ronald Reagan. They said he was president by proxy. That he slept through 8 years. That he delegated everything. Pretty good delegator. The best 8 years America's had. Turned this country around. Built the strongest, most respected military in all of the world. When Carter got out of office, inflation was at 14%. In 2 years, Reagan had it under control. Now, he was a very wise leader. He knew that he was old and he couldn't handle it all himself. But he had a lot of wisdom in discerning other people. And he appointed good men and gave them authority to do certain things. And then those people answered to him. And Ronald Reagan was the most effective leader we've had this century, if not ever. So Darius shows some wisdom in ruling his kingdom. He didn't try and handle it all. Babylon had conquered the known world. They had all different kind of races and nationalities and religions. And who in the world could have kept track of all that? So he divided it up among these 120 men. I think that was a pretty clever thing. Amen. Sometimes what we need to do is decide and learn that we can't do it all ourselves. And trust other people. We can't afford to be so egocentric that we think we're the only ones with any brains, the only one with any common sense. What's needful in leadership is an ability to discern people. Who can you trust? Who else has ability? Who else has skill? Who else is reliable? And then use those people and take advantage of their abilities and their skills. You get a whole lot more done. Amen. And not kill yourself getting it done. So Darius, he's not a fool in that he has no sense at all. The man has some discretion and ability in leadership. And look down there in verse 4 through 9. His problem was that he lacked discernment. Daniel has been in his kingdom a while and served his father before him. Daniel is tried and true and proven. Darius knows Daniel's reputation. He knows his ability. He knows that he's an honorable man. So Darius got enough sense to put Daniel over everybody else. But then when they come as a coalition, when they all get together and come without Daniel, see, I think that would have been a dead giveaway to me. When these 120 guys showed up, to get the king to sign a petition and they didn't come through the three presidents, I'd have thought something was amiss right there. But Darius obviously didn't catch that until these 120 come and they say, listen, we want you to sign this petition that nobody can do this or this or this for 30 days. Well, it flattered Darius. Nobody can ask anything of anybody, any other person. They can't ask anything of any other god. Anybody that asks a petition for the next 30 days has got to ask me. So they played on his ego. So when they come to him, you know what does he do? He responds exactly like they knew he would. They knew him a lot better than he knew them. So when they come with their little scheme, Darius just falls right into it out of pride and out of ego. He had no discernment of people. But if you don't have some discernment in this old world, you're not going to get very far. If you believe every story everybody tells you coming down the pike, if you believe every promise made by an employer, if you believe every promise made by somebody that wants something from you, you almost deserve what you get. Somebody say amen. You got to have some common sense. You have to have some ability to discern the truth from falsehood, right from wrong, good from bad. It's amazing to me how many people will go along with something that doesn't make a lick of sense if in that thing they think there's something in it for them. And then when it goes sour, and they're weeping and crying, they say, well, didn't you ever think about so-and-so? No. It's because they never thought, you know what? They got no discernment. Now, you better be able to learn how to judge people and judge situations, or you're going to get caught short time and time and time again. Poor old Darius, God bless his heart, pretty good ruler, except no discernment. You need that in business. You need that to run a church. You need that to run a family. You need discernment in just to get through life. And it's amazing how many folks don't have it. If they exercised real discernment, if they could read people, they wouldn't hang around with half the folks they've got for friends. You ever wonder why children hang around with the worst sort instead of the best sort? Have you ever noticed that a lot of kids are attracted to the baser folks in their class or in their group, the mean ones, the bullies, the arrogant ones, the loud-mouthed ones? So why is that? Because they got no discernment. They see all that bravado as cool, man, neat. They're tough. He's really bad. That's because you're really stupid. If you had any discernment, you would know that those folks are losers. They're not good students. They don't apply themselves. They don't have any discipline. They're not going anywhere in life except to trouble. And you're just busting a gut to follow them. Dumb. Dumb. What's their problem? No power of discernment. Little old girls follow little old boys, and they pick the worst ones in the bunch. They pick them for all the wrong reasons. Why didn't you pick the one that's a good student, that works hard, that's got a good reputation? Well, they're not cool, man. They're geeks. Yeah, but that's the one that's going to make a living. That's the one that's going to get an education and a vocation. That's the one that's going to be stable. That's going to be the one to be able to take care of you. Yeah, but men ain't cool. Well, starving to death's not cool either. Living with a drunk is not cool either. Being abused by your husband is not cool either. You know what the problem is? No discernment. Darius lacked discernment in people's motives. Now look at verse 9. In verse 9, you notice that he is way too quick to be moved by others. Wherefore, King Darius signed the writing and the decree. They said, here, Captain, sign this. He said, oh, okay. He stood his John Hancock on there. I think he probably should have read that thing first. It might have been a good idea to say, okay, fellas, won't you leave that with me and let me think about it over the weekend. But he didn't do that. They just came and made their pitch, and they said, oh, man, that sounds good to me. Signed it. Man, why don't you, let me send cars to you, okay? Just come on down and say, listen, we're looking for a new car. Well, let me make you a deal. Now, this is the best deal we can make. We'll let you have this for, we'll give you nothing for your car, take nothing off our car, and charge you 15%. And if you've got $2,500 down, you can drive this little baby home. Is that the best you can do? Oh, yeah. Well, all right. You ain't got to take the first deal you're offered. Amen. Shop around some. Look around some. Compare some deals. And then when you go into the next guy, you say, well, wait a minute. The guy down at the other place said, they do this and this and this. Can you beat that? We don't want you to match it. I mean, if that had been good enough, I'd have took his deal. I want a better deal. Amen. You know something? You ain't got to buy whatever it is today. You ain't got to close that deal today. They'll be right there tomorrow wanting to sell you one. They'll be there the day after that wanting to sell you one. Amen? You ain't got to jump just because somebody says jump. But boy, they come, wave that paper in front of old Darius. He didn't question it. He didn't think about it. He just signed it. Before you make major moves in life, you ought to think about them. I know a fella not long ago, he had a good job. Somebody offered him another job. And they offered him more money. So he told me to take it. So I talked to this guy. I said, well, how long is it going to take you to get to work? Well, not long. It's just up in Charlotte. I said, well, did you drive it to see how far it is? Have you checked the traffic? What kind of benefits do they have? The guy offered you more money, but what kind of deal is it? Well, now he was gone about 9-10 months, and guess where he's at now? He's back working for me. So why is that? Well, he was spending 4 hours a day in traffic. Going from Monroe to this side of Charlotte in the morning traffic and in the evening traffic. It was taking him 1 hour and 45 minutes to 2 hours a day one way. They gave him 50 cents an hour more. This old boy's losing his shirt. You know what his problem was? It just sounded good. They said, come on over, we'll give you a new truck. Well, the guy had a new truck. And we'll give you 50 cents an hour more. Well, that's $20 a week. Of course, he's spending 10 hours a day in traffic that he's not getting paid for. So if he's making $14, $15 an hour, how much money is he losing? He's making 50 cents an hour more. He makes another $20 a week, right? But he loses $150 an hour in time sitting in traffic. Duh. You know what his problem was? He's just too quick on the trigger. You'd be surprised how many mistakes we would miss in this life if before we committed ourselves, before we jumped in the fire, we'd think about it over the weekend. Just put it off a day or two to think about it, to talk to somebody else about it. But old Darius didn't do that. They waved it in front of his face, and he signed it just like that. Now look in verse 9 again. He is foolish in his commandments. They said, sign this decree that anybody that makes any petition before anybody or any other god for 30 days, well, you know, that's kind of an irrational thing. Now listen, this fellow is a ruler over a multiracial nation. They have all kind of different languages and religions. They have all kind of servants. They have all kind of people paying tribute. This is a melting pot of the old world. And all of a sudden this guy says, nobody else can pray to their God and ask anything in prayer. Nobody can pray to any other person or being in prayer for a whole month. I'm the only one. I'm the sole authority for a month. That's not only egotistical, it's irrational. If this guy had any brains, he would know that people who believe things can't just turn them loose just like that. How many of y'all believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Amen? I suppose somebody came along, Bill Clinton or whoever it is that runs the Gestapo, and said, you can't pray anymore. You can't ask anything in the name of Jesus Christ for a month. How many of y'all would obey? You can pray anyway, aren't you? See, there are some commands you can give, some requests you make, that are just absurd on the face of it. If Darius had thought about it for 10 seconds, he'd have said, that ain't going to fly. Ain't nobody going to listen to that. All I'm going to do is get a lot of people in a lot of hot water for nothing. I'm going to do this thing to salve my own ego. But what am I going to accomplish other than to get a lot of devout people in a lot of trouble? Because what I'm asking is ridiculous. But it obviously never occurred to him. Well, I wonder how many times we expect things from others that are just as ridiculous. Do you expect things from your wife or your husband that you shouldn't? Do you put an unfair burden on them? Do you require more of them than is reasonable or rational? And then you wonder why you don't have compliance and you don't have a happy home? Because you have unreasonable expectations. That's why. You're not using your noggin. Somebody say amen. That's pretty weak. Must be a lot of sin in this church here. Look down in verse 14. Now, verse 14, when the king hears that Daniel is up praying anyway, this guy has real regret and real sorrow. He is genuinely upset that he has put Daniel in this position. Well, that's commendable. It is great to be genuinely sorry. It is great to have real contrition for what you've done. There's just one problem with that. It's too darn late. Kids are the world's worst to do things, break something, tear something up, disobey, and the first thing they want to say is, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Well, that's great. But will your being sorry fix anything? Will it undo anything? It will not. The king was sorry, but it was too late to be sorry. He should have thought about it before he signed the decree. We ought to think about things before we do them. We wouldn't spend near as much time saying, I'm sorry. I mean to. It was an accident. I don't know anybody that ever meant to get themselves in trouble, ever meant to break anything, ever meant to have an accident. But it happens. And generally speaking, it happens because we don't think about what we're doing or the consequences of what we're doing before we do it. Now, good old Darius is sorry, but you know where Daniel's headed? He is headed to the lion's den with the king being sorry. Now, it's one thing when you do something and it comes back on you because you're foolish or rash or you have no discernment. But it's real tragedy when your rashness, when your foolishness, your lack of discernment cost others. Daniel is just doing what Daniel has always done. And he is still a faithful servant, a zealous servant, an honest man, a man of character, a man of integrity. And now he's going to die in the lion's den as a result of the foolishness of somebody else. I'm afraid all too often that our lack of thinking, our lack of planning, our lack of perception hurts other people. You don't have the right to do that to them. Do you want somebody to do that to you? Do you want people to take a course of action that's going to impact you and your family and your way of living? I don't think so. Well, then we need to be very, very careful that we don't do the same thing to others. Amen. Don't you hate these practical messages? I don't like them either. Thing is, I really would like to get through this life without making some really big mistakes. I've made enough. I'd like to be mature enough at some point in my life, have enough grace in my life to think about things before I jump into them, to weigh them out, to think about the right to take that chance, do I? Look down in verse 14 again. He tries to undo his mistake. Now the king is sorry. And he set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. But it was beyond his ability. He had set things in motion that he could no longer control. Once he signed that paper, it was beyond his ability to fix it. And boy, sometimes when we say things or do things, it escalates so quick, it's unbelievable. And it is out of our power, beyond our ability, to control it or to call it back or put a stop to it. You say something hurtful about somebody, you get a rumor started, you can pray till the going down of the sun. You can labor till dark on how to fix it, and you can't fix it. Once that horse is out of the barn, there ain't no getting it back. Amen. Oh, Darius was sorry, and he tried. He really did try. He gave it his best shot. His best shot just wasn't good enough. And Daniel's going to die because of it. Somebody else is going to pay the price because of it. That's irresponsible. When you harm others, take away from others, cost others because of your foolishness, that's irresponsible. I don't care if you're 5 or 55. Say, well, I'm glad you're helping me. Nobody else is. Look in verse 18. In verse 18, Darius's conscience and his heart smote him after the fact. That's one of those tough places to be in this life. You ever say or do something, commit yourself to something, and when you did it, it really did seem like the right thing to do. I mean, you didn't do it out of meanness or vindictiveness or those kind of things. At the instant that you did it, it looked like a good thing or a right thing, a proper thing to do. But as soon as you do it, you suddenly realize you made a mistake. And you can weep about it and cry about it and repent of it till the cows come home. And it is not going to change one single thing. So you know what happens? You fret over it. You not only messed somebody else up, your conscience is now offended. And you're running around saying, boy, should I have done that? How in the world can I fix that? Should I go and apologize? Should I do this? Where's all your peace and all your joy? Where's the tranquility in your own life? Where's the inner quietness that you want? You just threw it out the window with a rash act. Because you didn't think, because you had no discernment, because you were irresponsible, you not only have adversely affected others, you've robbed yourself of your peace and joy. I don't want to do that to myself. Anybody here want to do that? Of course not. So then what do? Learn to use your noggin. Think first. Act later. Weigh it out. Exercise some discernment. Don't be so cotton picking gullible. Don't believe everything comes down the pike. Listen up. Weigh it. Analyze it. Dissect it. Be critical of it. Doubt it. Question it. Dig into it. And then after proper prayer and thought and meditation, make a decision. But don't be so doggone quick to jump on the bandwagon, everything coming and going. But say amen. Look at verse 16. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the lion's den. Now the king spake unto Daniel, thy God whom thou servest continually. It wasn't his God. Wasn't his God. But he's got more confidence in his than he does in Daniel's God than he does in his own. He said, the God you serve, he can deliver you. I wonder why that sorry devil didn't say, my God will deliver you. Isn't it strange how people do? Now listen, here's a man who knows there's a God in heaven. He knows it from his own father and all. He knows it because of what he's seen in Daniel's life. He knows there is a God. And he knows there's a God that can hear and answer. He knows that Daniel is his servant. Yet this man has not chosen to serve him himself. How many folks you know out there in this old world that acknowledge there's a God? They don't doubt it. You talk to them, they believe in God. They even believe that there's a judgment day coming and they're going to have to answer for them, for themselves. They're going to give an account. And they can see the change that God has made in your life. But he's still not their God. I've never understood that. Tell me the heart is not desperately wicked and deceitful above all things. How could you know all that and not say, listen, I want that same God to be my God. I want to serve the God that answers. I want to serve the God that hears. But people by the millions know and acknowledge and ignore the God of heaven. That's exactly what Darius did. Whether he didn't know, he knew. And not only did he know, he had confidence in Daniel's God. He said, the God thou serve, he'll deliver you. What, how many times unsaved people have admonished saved people in a crisis? Pray and trust God. God will see you through this. God will get you through it. The guy's lost his Hogan's goat. On his way to hell. And thought I've got more faith and trust in God than saved people. That's wild. So here's some fella saved by God's grace and he's weeping and crying, ready to blow his brains out. And the dark of midnight and the storm is raging and the boat's rocking and reeling. The lightning's flashing, the thunder's crashing. This guy's ready to capitulate and throw in the towel. Here's some unsaved man saying, oh, it's all right, God's going to get you through this. What a rebuke. The heathen know there's a God. Look down in verse 20. In verse 20, while he has some faith in God, he has some doubt in God. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice and said, unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, Is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee? Now, it was one thing before they put Daniel in the lion's den and say, your God will deliver you. That's pretty easy. Before you're in the fire, it's pretty easy to say, God will take care of you before the battle starts. It is easy to say, God will take care of you, God will deliver you, God will fix this before the tragedy comes. It's quite another thing to have that same degree of confidence in the middle of the fight. So when old Darius sneaks down there the next morning, he got down to the lion's den about 5 a.m., you know, the sun's just coming up. Stopped by Hardy's, got him a cup, and he's down there, and he's listening. And he hears a sound. He listens. And he hears a big old lion going, the king said, Daniel? Daniel? Dan? Psst. Did God get you through this? And Daniel said, yeah, man, I'm here. And the king goes, oh. That's what I'd have done. I bet you, that guy had confidence in God, yet he doubted, but he had still enough confidence to come to the lion's den. Now you got to admit, that's a right good bit of faith. That king has seen hundreds of people die in that lion's den. He knows what lions do to folks. Yet he went down there anyway. I thought that was commendable. But when Daniel spoke back, I bet that guy about had a heart attack right where he was standing. He was down there wanting, hoping against hope Daniel was alive, but when he was alive, he couldn't believe it. You ever had God work like that in your life? You're hoping against hope things are going to turn out all right. That God's going to take care of it. You're praying and you're trusting on the one hand. Realizing, humanly speaking, things don't work that way. This is an impossible situation. There ain't no way in the world for this to come through. You ever notice how faith and doubt walk side by side in your life? You believe God. You want to believe God. You're trusting God. You're trying to trust God on the spiritual side. But that natural man's kept saying, listen, bud, there's a certain law of physics. It don't work that way. It can't happen. You're wasting your time. And so, on the one hand, you're hoping against hope, and on the other side, you're fearful. Well, at least you're prepared no matter which way it goes. But isn't it a blessing when you're in those times and in those places and God comes through? You got to back off and say, I don't know how in the world God did it. But God did it. And you back off and you give praise and glory and honor to God, and your heart rejoices and your faith is increased. Amen. Don't you know that when Darius left there that morning with Daniel in hand, that unsaved pagan king was glorifying God? I bet you, if you'd have listened to them too as they walked back to the palace, old Darius said, man, I thought you was a goner. I just knew that when I walked down there and opened that door, all I was going to see was your bones. I can't believe God got you through that. I was just as sure as sunrise, you were history. Ain't God something? I wouldn't have believed that in a million years, and here you are. You ever had God do something like that in your life? You didn't have an answer. You didn't have a prayer. All you had was, I hope God can. And God did. Verse 23, Darius rejoices in the goodness of God. I'll tell you something. I like those situations where even the heathen have to glorify God. you know, when you go down to the hospital and the doctor said, this little boy, this little girl, this man, this woman's got so-and-so, and it's inoperable, it's terminal, we can't fix it, it's beyond our ability, it's past our technology. Nothing we can do. We've done all we can. And God sends somebody down there, and they pray, and pray over that individual. And the church prays for them, and we call around the country and get different people to pray. And they go back for a checkup, and that doctor said, I don't believe this. Look at this x-ray. That tumor was right there. I'm not making this up. It was right there. There it is. You see it? Well, it ain't there this morning. We can't find it. We just made an x-ray. We did a CAT scan. We did an MRI. We've done an ultrasound. We called in Star Trek. They used their scanner. There is nothing in there. I like it. You know what old Darius is doing? This guy's lost his Hogan's goat, man. He is on his way to hell. And he is walking down the road hand in hand with Daniel, rejoicing over the goodness of God. I like it when even the heathen have to praise my Savior. Amen. And verse 24. Verse 24 is just the most pitiful verse in the whole story. Verse 24. And the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel. And they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives. And the lions had the mastery of them, and break all their bones in pieces, or ever they came to the bottom of the den. You know what the last observation is here? Darius learned nothing. You know what he's doing in verse 24? He's repeating verse 4. He's doing it again. He has overreacted. Why in the world punish all 120 of those men and their wives and their children? The wives and children aren't responsible. Now, they're going to pay the price for their stupidity and the duplicity of their husband, just like Daniel was going to have to pay the price for the stupidity of Darius. The guy is still rash with his mouth. He still didn't take time and think it through. He is still doing things that affect other people's lives for nothing. He didn't learn one cotton-picking thing from the ordeal. Now, that's a waste. Ladies and gentlemen, it is one thing to have to go through some tough things and make some dumb mistakes in this life. But in heaven's name, learn from it. Don't keep making the same old mistake over and over and over and over and over again. Does anybody in here want to be thought of as being stupid? Want to raise your hand and admit to that? Well, of course not. But you know, if you make the same mistake over and over, year after year, time after time, and you never learn from it, you know what that is? That's stupid. Now, nobody can hold it against you the first time you do it. It was a mistake. But for crying out loud, when you realize it's a mistake, find out how you got into it. And look at what it cost. And see what it took to get you out of it. And then down the road, don't repeat the same stupid mistake. Don't be like Darius. This man's a fool. He got himself into a mess. God got him out of it. And he turns right around and does it again. How many times do you think God's going to get him out of it? How many times can you expect God to deliver you from doing the same thing? Over and over and over. If you can't look at the situation and learn, maybe God will have to let you reap the consequences to learn. Now that's the tough way to get the lesson. It'd be a whole lot easier to read about Darius, analyze Darius, and say, man, I'm not making that mistake. The price is too high. The risk is too great. Just ain't worth it. I think I'll learn from somebody else for a change. Amen? All right, let's bow our head. Father, we thank you now for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you to put your story in here about Darius. Lord, we see where he made his mistake. We see how you got him through and sustained him, how he gave honor and glory to your name. Lord, help us not to be like him, though, in that we repeat the same mistake again and again. I know we're going to make some. We ask you to be with us. We ask you to be patient with us. Protect us and see us through our foolishness. But Lord, give us grace and strength and wisdom to learn, to acknowledge our error, and to change our ways. We'll thank you and we'll praise you for it in Jesus' name.